Well, good morning. My name is Nawa Abdul Wahid. Today is December 17th, 2010, and we are sitting in the dining room of my home. And I was born in Washington, D.C., moved to Chicago, south side, initially the north side of Chicago. I was about 2 years old with my mother and my five siblings. Went from the north side of Chicago to the west side of Chicago, from the west side of Chicago to the south side of Chicago, which is essentially where I was raised for most of my, the rest of my adolescent life. Went to a small high school in Chicago, Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences, known as the Last Farm of Chicago. And my experience there created a lot of opportunities, one of which brought me to Minnesota to study agricultural engineering at the University of Minnesota until I had to take organic chemistry, and that didn't seem too appealing to me anymore. So I finished my undergraduate degree in math and started working at the university doing diversity and cultural awareness work, and that has led me to where I am now, which is a self-described consultant and trainer doing a lot of leadership and cultural awareness work.
What was that like, being the black guy in the farming program in the south side of Chicago?
It was great. I mean, we were at the time 80% students of color. So the school had always been envisioned to bring students of color into agriculture because there was a national recognition that there was this huge void of people of color going into agriculturally related fields. And so that's why the school was created. So while there, we were not the minority. I mean, we were the majority. Now, when we would travel to Southern Illinois or to Iowa for FFA competitions, that was always interesting. So why did I choose Minnesota? I had lots of, again, opportunities. I could have went to Howard. I could have went to University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. I had scholarship opportunities to Michigan. The challenge for me at that time was I wanted something different. And so Minnesota just had this feel. It had a, when I came to visit, it had a feel of people being very open, very welcoming. The people who brought me up on the program, I mean, we had a lot of great support. So it just felt like, you know, it just felt like the right fit. So a little bit about my Muslim background. So my family, when I was born, my mother and father were still together, and my father, interestingly enough, had converted to Islam, Sunni Orthodox Islam, and then, which is not usually the case, from that went to the Nation of Islam, which is affiliated with Louis Farrakhan and all that. Now, usually for African Americans, you would start in the Nation of Islam, and then most of the time, I mean, not all the time, but most of the time, you would end up in Sunni or Orthodox Islam. My parents were active Black Panther Party members, so then that had a strong influence on, again, that sort of Black nationalist experience or self-empowerment. And then they split, and my mother went to Chicago. And when that split occurred, my mother would say, you know, she probably didn't get the best of Islam through my father at the time. And so she went back to the church, and she was grounded in, you know, from the country, you know, well, old country girl from the East Coast in Virginia. And we went to Lilydale Baptist Church, and I was going to Sunday school and very comfortable and learning about this new experience of what it meant to be Christian. And then, you know, it was really, it wasn't a strong thing in our family, but, you know, it was a part of our spiritual experience. So when I got to high school, I met some Muslims, and we were shooting the breeze one day, and we're talking, and I said, yo, yeah, you know, I used to be Muslim. And he's like, oh, really? You know, he's kind of, so, and I was explaining to him what I believed or what I thought we used to believe, my family. And what I was explaining to him was the beliefs of the Nation of Islam. Now, up to that point, I hadn't understood the difference between the Nation of Islam and Sunni Islam. It just wasn't in my, at that time, it wasn't in my realm of consciousness. I thought they were, you know, one and the same, with the Nation really focusing basically on Black people. So I was explaining some of, you know, those theological beliefs, and, you know, he just looked at me like I was crazy. He said, you know, you should come over to my dad sometime and, you know, come to one of our little classes. You might learn a thing or two. And I did. And I started going fairly regularly every Sunday night for about a year and a half. And the questions that I was asking, him, and the answers were much more settling. And that was my path. I mean, I realized at that point that was my path. And I was a sophomore in high school. It was February 1989. And it was one of those regular Sunday night classes. And I said, yeah, I'm ready to convert. And that was it. I moved to Minnesota in 1991. And I wouldn't say I moved to Minnesota. I came to school in Minnesota in 1991. And up until I would say about, let me see, my daughter's oldest daughter's 16. So I'm going to say up until about 10 years ago, I would still say that I'm from Chicago. About 10 years ago, I started to say, you know, well, I'm from such and such place, whether it was I was living in St. Paul or wherever. I'm from St. Paul, but I'm originally from Chicago. Now, you'd have to press me to say where I'm originally from because I have such strong roots now. I mean, my children have been raised in Minnesota. I have three other siblings here. I mean, those are some deep roots now going into the soil of Minnesota. So when you ask me where I'm from, I'm going to say Fridley. You know, what was really different about the Muslim community in Minnesota was there was a different sense of togetherness. You know, I was recently out in San Diego and reconnected with a brother who I met in Minnesota, you know, back in 1992. And you know, the years have gone past, and it's like one of my closest brothers. And he's from Pakistan. And, you know, we have bonded, we have shared, and it's a strong friendship. I have a similar relationship with brothers from India, from Malaysia. I got a really good friend of mine from Liberia. So that, I think, is very unique to Minnesota, is that after the prayers are over, after the events are over, there is still that sense of connectedness, which is, I didn't have that in Chicago. I think the first experience that was the sort of catapulting into the Muslim community in Minnesota for me was through the MSA, the Muslim Students Association. You know, it was one of the first groups, or it was the first group that I connected with. And once I made those connections with the MSA during the Ramadan dinner, which is, you know, goes back to what's different between Minnesota and Chicago. You know, in Minnesota during the month of Ramadan, when we fast for about 30 days from sunup to sundown, in Minnesota, you can find just about any mosque in the Twin City metro area, as well as ones that are now popping up around the state in Rochester and Duluth. And they will have iftar dinners every day. In Chicago, you would find that in some mosques. In others, you would find those dinners happening on the weekends. But in Minnesota, without exception, you will find those dinners happening just about every day in every mosque in the Twin City Metro. Very, very unique in that regard. And so this was during the Ramadan dinner. And, you know, just connecting with brothers and hanging out, and, you know, we were all roughly the same age, and they're saying, well, we play basketball every Saturday morning, and really, oh, wow, this is cool, you know, playing basketball with some of these, you know, Indians and Liberians. I mean, it was just unique. It was very unique. But that was my first, that first step was working with the MSA. I am more connected with the Muslim community now in my day-to-day through a couple of channels. I'd say one is the IRG. And so that keeps me pretty grounded. I am sort of a loose advisor consultant to the MYM, the Muslim Youth of Minnesota. And then, you know, very often I will get requests from MSA, Muslim Students Association, to speak to, work with, talk, you know, mentor some of the brothers and sisters that are working with MSA. So it's so interesting, you know, being 37 and feeling like an old head in the community. But that's kind of what's happening right now. I am becoming part of the older, supposedly, allegedly wiser group of brothers and sisters in the community that people seek out counsel. And so that's often how it happens. You know, for a while, my spouse and I, we were really, really active with MYM and helping create some opportunities to volunteer and do some community service work, but bumped up against some challenges around cultural issues. And I'll give you one great example of this. Working with Sharing and Caring Hands in downtown Minneapolis and taking some brothers and sisters to visit and just work with the kids and play with the kids for a couple of hours every week. Well, somehow a parent had heard about this huge picture in the entryway of Jesus, and people had, you know, took real exception to bringing their children, because these were youth, you know, Muslim youth, bringing their children to this place that has a big picture of Jesus. They had real issues with that. And we started to get into some of the cultural issues there. And we're thinking, do they not understand that there are Muslim families here, number one? Even if there weren't, what does it say about the Muslim community if we are not willing to help our, quote unquote, our community in which we live? And so that then is when I sort of began to really channel some of my energy towards IRG, because the MYM piece started to take a different form. So IRG is important to me, and my motivation and the reason I love the work that we do is because it fits so well with my spiritual philosophy about where I am with Islam. And that is, I was never a fan of going out and sort of proselytizing to people. It was one of the things that kind of turned me off to other faith traditions, this idea of, you know, you've got to join us, you've got to be a part of this thing. You know, I used to abhor, literally. That never appealed to me. And it was the thing that, you know, if you really don't want me to listen, come and beg me to listen. I mean, that was the thing. So the IRG philosophy of only going where invited. I love that. You know, we're not out there campaigning and, you know, we're saying, yes, we're available. But we only go where we're invited. And when invited, we're only speaking from a strictly educational perspective. You know, IRG is really big on focusing on commonalities without minimizing the differences. You know, the fact that I'm Muslim and you're Christian, I think, that's real. And so there is some difference in theology there. So on the one hand, there are going to be things that are really common and similar about what we believe and what we share. And then there are going to be some things that are different. So IRG has been really masterful in being able to navigate highlighting those pieces that are in common that we share and then pointing out those areas that we're different, but respecting and valuing both. That's just, to me, that is the solution to 99% of our issues right now. It's just being able to have people be in an environment, a safe environment, where they can have those kinds of conversations, ask questions, which is something that, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, I get some great questions. I was talking to a church group about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I had this woman. She's probably in her 80s or 90s. And you know, with the best of intentions, I mean, you could just see it. She was saying this out of all of the intellectual and spiritual curiosity that she could muster with the best of intentions. Is, why do these people do these things? You're talking about the terrorists. Why do they do these things? Help me understand this, because what you're saying, I can't reconcile it with this. And I said, that is a great question. When you find the answer, let me know, because I don't know. No more so than you would know why the Ku Klux Klan would be burning crosses on folks' lawn saying that they're doing what good Christians should do. right? I know you can't explain that, just like I can't explain these people. And there was this light bulb that went off in this. She had the biggest smile, and she said, I never thought of it that way.
I wanna try to pull out another anecdote from you, because I think that so often those small little stories have mm-hmm. bigger ramifications. Mm-hmm. When you first moved into this house mm-hmm. and were one of the few families of color, is there a moment that you recall when you can say, oh, yeah, this is going to be okay?
So the moment when we first moved into this house, how I knew this was going to be a great experience, when we were looking at the house, the neighbor, it was the next day, actually, because we had looked at the house in the evening. And then the next morning, the neighbor had come out, a couple of neighbors in two of the houses that you see over here, two of the three houses that you see over here. The neighbors had come out and said, so you all looking at this house over here? He said, no, yeah. Oh, man, great, great. I mean, they were excited. I'm thinking, okay, so what am I missing here? He said, oh, it'd be great. You got kids? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I mean, the wife had come out. They have kids. Yeah. I was like, what is going on? And, you know, these are all the original owners. These are all folks that retired. They got, you know, children and grandchildren. And I guess there was this void. And we have brought, we sort of filled a void. You know, that there's some voices. You hear some little kid voices on a regular basis. But that was the moment I knew this was going to be cool, when they came out and were so excited that we were even looking at the house. You know, what it means to be Muslim in Minnesota is very similar to what it mean, what it's like being a single parent in Minnesota, or a high school football player. I mean, you're going to have such a range of experience. I think for, as you cut across that range of experience, one thing that I hope would be similar for a lot of folks would be a sense of opportunity and community that is different here than some other places. I think the sense of the opportunity to be able to live, work, and play in a fairly unmitigated, experience where people literally will kind of leave you alone to do what you need to do, however you need to do it. And then, in addition to that, may even facilitate you doing those things, may even help you out. I work with a client and they've got a large population of Somali employees, and they're trying to figure out how to negotiate and mediate prayer times. The fact that they're having that conversation, okay, you know, forget about what they're going to come to, but the fact that they're having the conversation about how can we explore this, how can we make it a better environment, a comfortable work environment, so that their religious and spiritual needs are getting met, and it doesn't conflict with what we need to do in terms of the job. The fact that the employer is even willing to engage in that conversation, to me, speaks volumes of the kind of community that we have here. I go back to, you know, in the days and the weeks after September 11th, and how different it was in Minnesota when compared to some of our brothers and sisters who I talk to in, say, a Chicago even, or New York, or some other places where, at least on the surface, which I'll take over any day, I think as the Muslim community gets healthier, and as individuals in the community get more and more comfortable in who they are, a lot of things that often seem to kind of happen will begin to, you know, die out. But for me, again, it goes back to us. You know, it starts with me and me being comfortable and confident in who I am and what I'm saying. You know, I mean, somebody going to say, who are you talking about? Because you're not talking about me. So you just got to kind of, when you hear some of that stuff, you got to flip it around. Who are you talking about, you people? Because you want me to hate every white guy because of the things that happened down south 30 years ago? I mean, what do you want me to do? Well, it's not the same. How isn't it the same? Tell me. You explain it to me. I mean, I want to help you. I want to be as angry as you are, but I need to know who to be angry with and for what reason, So help me out. You know what I'm saying? The fact that my cultural experience is from America, from the United States of America, then the psychology, all the unhealthy and healthy aspects of that, all of that is in my DNA. You know, so when I can see the fire and the venom at a sports event, you know, that a sports fan would have against the opposing team, you know, I get that. You know, when someone is driving and they flipping someone off and they're going, you know, I get the road rage of the United States. I mean, I understand that. It's part of my DNA. I got a little bit of that stuff. And then the flip side of that is folks who've made transformational changes in a fairly short span of time, 20, 30, 40 years. That also is part of my DNA. It's 2010. You're talking just 50 years ago, in the lifetime of my parents, we have gone from walking down a street with signs in the window saying colored only or whites only. In my parents' lifetime, my neighbor's lifetime, we have gone from that to me living here. People that look like me on the school board. Lo and behold, somebody look like me is in the White House. A short span of time. So that's part of my DNA. So I understand, as wild and as crazy as folks can be, they can make changes very quickly with the right support, empathy, and understanding. So that's always operating in the back of my mind. You don't know that person's story. You don't know their background. And it doesn't take a whole lot for them to flip. And that goes both ways. You know, flipping from wild and crazy to something good, and from flipping from good to something wild and crazy.